Father, we thank you for those that were able to give in the offering, though they couldn't, Father, that each one of us today, Lord, you said that you will teach us to profit and lead us in the way that we should go. We're asking you to honor that word in our lives, Father, that you will direct our steps, Father. You'll show us great riches, Father, in hidden and secret places, and reveal that to us, Lord. You will help us, Lord, that we may be profitable, Lord, to your kingdom, but also in the natural, Father, have things that we can give. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Now, if you were here last week, it was Mother's Day. How many remember who we talked about last week? We talked about Eve, didn't we? And Adam, both of them. Amen. She was the mother of all living. And if we remember that she came, what God caused the sleep to come upon Adam, and she was taken from his side. God took part of Adam and created Eve and brought her to him as a great presentation to Adam. So we saw that, and that they were one together. They were equal together. They walked with God together. But the greatest thing is, they were clothed with the glory of God. And we said that women, how many know, when women get clothed with the glory of God, the beauty of who God is the one that shines forth. You know, we can fix up all the outward things. And that's what Peter mentioned it. He said, don't let it just be you putting on some makeup and looking pretty, ladies, but let it be the adorning of your heart, filled with the glory of God. Amen. That was the beginning. That's where Eve and Adam were at the beginning, filled with the glory of God. You know, men, don't worry about how, you know, we're strong and mighty. Men, hallelujah. But we recognize a woman may be physically weaker, but in the spirit, we are one. We're the same. And this morning, I want us to look at another person in the Bible. The Lord gave me a scripture this week, and I said, oh, okay, we can teach on that. But I want to talk a little bit about Aquila and Priscilla in Acts chapter 18. And share a few thoughts with them. We'll read here in just a minute. But it says, surely, well, let's read it, and then we'll talk a little bit here. It says, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth. And he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome, and he came to them. So what happened is shortly before, perhaps here at the same time, the Apostle Paul arrived at Corinth, and Aquila and Priscilla also had come to the city because they were being thrown out of Rome. Probably because a lot of the Jews were beginning to preach Jesus. And they didn't like that. It wasn't just the Jews, but they used that as a great excuse. How many know in the beginning of the church, the Jews were the ones that were born again? Amen. And for a while, they just thought they were the only ones that could be saved. Now, they were beginning to come to the place where they were reaching out, of course, because they come to Corinth, and Paul was there, and they had a divine appointment, and they ran into someone named the Apostle Paul. I'm not even sure that Aquila and Priscilla knew exactly where they were going. They had to leave their home. They've been kicked out of Rome. They can't go back. We've got, you know, so they're heading out somewhere. They head east, and let's go. Come on, honey. But they had an encounter with the man named the Apostle Paul. And here in this verse, apparently Paul was talking to Aquila, primarily, and he and Paul were talking, and he mentioned, oh, yeah, this is my wife Priscilla, but yeah, we've come from, you know, Rome and Italy, and we're here, and we don't know what to do, but they found out their, Paul says, oh, you're tent makers, so am I. They hit it off. They had a great relationship. They both loved the Lord, and they began a relationship with the Apostle Paul. Now, you know, we're not saying exactly how that unfolded, but this is probably, I mean, this appears to be basically what happens. And so we see them, they were under a great, so Aquila and Priscilla, we got to understand, they're under a great loss. They were financially in trouble. You know, they've had to leave their home, mentally, emotionally, socially. It was a great loss to them spiritually as well. They had to leave their church, you know, that they had in Rome, and I'm sure they were part of that. Forcibly and suddenly, they had to leave. Anybody ever been in one of those situations? All of a sudden, I lost my job, I lost this, my car's in the shop, I got no money coming in, I'm in big trouble. Can't seem to find another job, I don't know what I'm going to do. But here in the, you know, it was just seems like sometimes, boom, one fell swoop and they were out of their home. They were out of work. They were out of their church. They had to go. But they ran into the Apostle Paul. And this is a eureka moment for them. They said, oh, hey, we've met Paul here. Not that they knew him, but they met him. And so they began their relationship, and you know, they probably were just trying to get to the nearest port. Maybe they were even going through. They just thought, well, we'll just go through Corinth to the other side here and take a ship to the next place. I don't know. But when they arrived here, they were under, in a sense, they probably felt defeated, dejected. You know, because, I mean, we got to think, I mean, wouldn't you, I would be a little dejected. You know, they've kicked me from St. Thomas and sent me somewhere else. You have to go. You don't have a job. You don't have any money. You don't have any, you know, their family's not nearby. Their church is gone. No one to fellowship with. Have to go travel on our own. What are we going to do? And here they are with their divine appointment. So Aquila and Priscilla probably had never heard of Paul. They weren't looking for him. That's why I call it a divine appointment, I prefer. Or you could say their eureka moment or their surprise happening. It's kind of what this word here, because it says that he found them. Verse 2, and Paul found them. In other words, it was that word, it's like a surprise. We get our word, oh, eureka, you know. Oh, hey, how about that? I've got this. This is an amazing. Or what I would prefer to call it is a divine appointment with the Apostle Paul and with God. How many know God directs the steps of the righteous? Even though they were in trouble, even though they were dejected and they were felt defeated and probably had all kinds of feelings running through their life. They had grabbed their things, what they could, and off they went. And here we go. We've got to get out of Rome because the authorities have said so. Hallelujah. And now we're here. We're stuck. Now, when God first had called Paul, where was he? He was in Jerusalem, wasn't he? And he transplanted himself from church in Jerusalem to the church there in Antioch, where he met Aquila and Priscilla. And so, because Antioch's kind of like a melting pot. Everybody has to come through there. They're kind of got a little bit of everybody from all over. Paul had a church there now. And you know, people from different cultures had been born again into the family of God. And Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he wrote some of the greatest things that, you know, we're still reading today. That he wrote to Corinth there. You know, and so they were moving forward with him. And so Paul's the leader there at the church in Antioch. He labored side by side with Jews and non-Jews. Because they've come to that place with Africans. He worked with free men, former slaves, those that were bound, those that were free, barbarians, Scythians, men and women, and because all of them were filled and anointed with the Holy Spirit of God, Paul saw firsthand what Christ could do in his distinction of all the different people that work together. How many know that in Jesus, there's not a Jew or Gentile, there's not even a man or a woman in Christ? In Christ Jesus, we have the same abilities and the same ways that we can work together. And we see that there in Colossians chapter 11, verse 3. I'm going to talk a little bit about women also while we're at it. I'm sorry, 3:11, excuse me. Colossians doesn't have 11 chapters. I just realized I said that. 3:11. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. So that means there's not yellow or black or brown or white or red or purple for that matter. If you're tattooed, I suppose you could be. Or tattooed or untattooed in Jesus. Amen. But we are all what? One in Him. Christ is all. And in all. There's not a man or a woman. And that's going to be important here in a minute, because I want us to see something that took place in Paul's relationship with Aquila and Priscilla. Galatians 3:28 says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, for you're all one. We're all one in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So, as the leader, Paul recognized this. He was the leader there at Corinth, and but some people will say, then why did Paul say that certain people shouldn't speak in the church, such as women? How many ever heard that? Women keep silent in the churches. Why did he say that? Why was that scripture put in there? And I want us to look at it. I'm not going to skirt around it. We may as well read it. You know, you got a lot of people, they'll read everything except what's there. I went to one church and they never talked about the scriptures, you know. They'd read all the scriptures about the Holy Spirit except for the ones where they pray in tongues. You know, don't read those, you know. All the other ones, well, they were filled somehow, but, you know, skip over that. But we're not going to skip over it. It says, some have thought that the Apostle Paul was against women being in ministry based on some things that he said in his writing. For instance, 1 Corinthians 14:34, let your women keep silent in the churches. For if they're not permitted to speak, but they are to be submissive, as the law also allows. Hallelujah. So, as the law also says, like the law says, they're to be submissive. It says, let your women keep silent in the churches. And if they want to learn something, verse 35, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. Now, we can look here. On the surface, it appears that Paul was saying that women shouldn't say anything in the church, and that's really not the case. He's not saying that they shouldn't. There are some things that were going on here, and if we look into this, the word actually silence in the Greek is segeo, and it depicts a modification of behavior. In this case, it means keeping silent or keeping control of one's mouth as opposed to rambling, or just rambunctiously speaking. And what was happening here in the church is that during the time of the Jews, the women weren't allowed to go to the synagogue. They didn't really even come. The men were there and they were learning. And now the women are allowed to come. And just think about it. It's kind of like when women, you know, they get the right to vote or they get to do something new. How many know they get a little excited? So they're there and they're talking and rambunctiously and causing disturbance in the service, saying, husband of mine, what does he mean by that? What is he saying? What do you mean? You know, right during the service. And so there's a little interruptions. There's some things. There's some excitement going on. And Paul's saying, women, I want you to be quiet in the church. Ask your husband at home. In other words, he's just setting a little order. Amen. He's teaching. A lot of people think the New Testament church was all about signs, wonders, and miracles. And there were. But it was also setting the church in order. And Paul was just saying, women, be quiet. Don't just say everything you want to say and ask and have a little bit of self-control with your mouths and please be quiet. I mean, we would say that today. If somebody's just being, extremely loud, we'd say, would you please be quiet, Terry? Or if it's a woman, we'd say, would you please be quiet? And here it's a group of people. And he said, women, would you please be silent? You don't be quiet in the church so that we're not causing a disruption. And so Paul told the believers that the woman shouldn't keep asking questions during the teaching time of the Word of God. And this is made clear here, of course, we said in verse 35, if you want to learn something, let them ask their wives at their husbands at home. For it's a shame for women speak in the church or they can speak freely. So they were longing, of course, to learn and to be in the church. And they're excited to be there. How many would be excited? You know, they hadn't been. Yeah, I know you would be, sisters, for sure. Hallelujah. And all of that. But I just want us to understand, it wasn't because Paul was trying to say, hey, I don't want women. He had several women in his own ministry that helped him. And here we'll see, as a matter of fact, when it comes to Aquila and Priscilla, in Acts 18, that is the last time they were ever mentioned as Aquila and Priscilla. The rest of the time, they were mentioned as Priscilla and Aquila. Priscilla became the preacher of the family. She was quite a preacher. And she helped Paul, and she was a part of that. And so, and when we see here, it's kind of like, hey, women, when you go home, interrogate your husband and ask all you want. And he'll inform you, and we'll keep things in order here in the church. Not that not that they didn't know anything, but they were learning, continuing to learn. We just want to continue with good order. Amen. There is another misunderstood verse regarding women found in 1 Timothy 2:11. Similarly to the other verse there, it's very similar. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 says, let a woman learn in silence with all submission. Oh, hallelujah. And again, all the men said amen. But, you know, that's not what Paul was really saying. He was saying yes. He wants them to learn. But here again, to understand what Paul was saying, we have to look at a couple of key words here. Learn in the Greek is M-A-N. I'm not sure how to pronounce it. M-A-N-T-H-A-N-O. Manthano. And it depicts a learner, a disciple, a follower, or an apprentice. It's from the Greek, root word, which was used to describe the 12 disciples. Therefore, when Paul said, let the women learn, he was saying that women can also become disciples or followers of Jesus. Only they are to become learners without interrupting others around them. Amen. In the silence. Here, the word silence does not mean speechless. It is a Greek word, H-E-S-U-C-H-I-A, hesucha, and it depicts a calm behavior as opposed to an inappropriate or unacceptable behavior. To this, Paul added, but I suffer not a woman to teach or usurp authority over a man, but to be silent. In this verse, the phrase usurp authority has often been misunderstood to mean that women shouldn't preach, but that's not what it means at all. In the Greek, usurp authority is means to describe a domineering attitude, in other words. It literally means to use one's position to take up arms against another to act as an autocrat. Hallelujah. This word pictures one who with his own hand kills others. It carries the idea of using one's position to dominate or to manipulate. In this case, Paul was instructing Timothy not to allow women to have domineering attitudes and to take up arms to fight against the man, which is the Greek word meaning man, or here probably means husband. In other words, they don't want them to be saying things against or with a dominating attitude toward their husband. And so Paul was just saying, yes, women can be disciples. Women can follow after God, but it just has to be an orderly fashion. Let's not get out of control. Let's not allow ourselves that the excitement in the church and so forth, and let's not do it in such a way that they're being disrespectful to other people or to their own husband. Amen. So whether a man's a woman or a man, he or she is not to use that position to dominate or manipulate anyone. That applies to men as well. Amen. So we don't want to be domineering attitude, but seeks to take up anything against others and wants to harm them or bring them down is not of God. The Bible says to honor Christ, we submit what one to another. It says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, submitting yourselves what one to another. Yep, let's look at that. Ephesians chapter 5. I hope this is all making sense to you. We're not touching every little detail here, but it says, in the fear of God, submitting to one another. See, we're here in Ephesians 5, and he's getting ready to talk about Christ in the church. As a woman says, I submit myself, I give my life to Christ, we submit ourselves. We've been talking a little bit about what surrender and submission to the Lord. But it says here, and when we submit what one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. In other words, don't be out of order. You know, don't start speaking just all the time and disturbing things. But learn to be someone that is you know, able to sit and be quiet and be a disciple and follow after God. Amen. Hallelujah. And so we're here and we submit one to another. For the husband's the head of the wife, as Christ the head of the church, and he's the savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands and everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church, gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water of the word. But that wife, she's listening, what? She's under her husband unto the Lord. If he's hearing from the Lord, then she should say, yes, let's do that, honey. It doesn't mean she doesn't have a voice. It doesn't mean she can't say something. It doesn't mean we didn't talk about it, because we're submitting what? One to another. He said, what? In the fear of God. And what Paul was against, what he was saying, is we don't want anybody dominating over someone else. No man or a woman. Hallelujah. One of the greatest indicators that Paul was the champion of women's rights is the fact that he had many women serving alongside him in the ministry. Amen. We see this here in his remarks in Romans chapter 16. Let's go there. Romans 16. I hope this is making sense to you, because God's not against women. Hallelujah. Amen. That was one woman anyway. You women can preach just like the men. And that's what happened to Priscilla and Aquila. Priscilla really became the preacher of their household. And they were known as Priscilla and Aquila. It was Aquila and Priscilla, and Paul talked to him, and she just seemed to be a different part, but she was mature in the Lord. She was learning the things of God. Paul used during his ministry, used both of them. But specifically, she was also a preacher and a teacher. So we see Paul here in Romans 16. That's where we're going. Come on, Douglas. Pastor Douglas, let's go. Romans 16. I'm not going to stumble around because these verses are in here. But I want us to see here, Paul, verse 1, he says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of Christ, which is at Corinth. And here we have someone that is a servant of Christ at Corinth, or in Centuria, sorry. I read that wrong, Centuria. I'll say that again for the tape's sake there, brother. Romans 16:1, he said, I commend you to Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church at Centuria. The word servant here is diakon, which means a deacon or a minister. To deacon, to be a deacon is a minister in the church. You know, not necessarily a preacher per se, but for female deacon, a servant with delegated responsibilities that often include public and managerial functions. In other words, she was managing some of the things with Paul and for Paul. Paul says to, what did he say? What's the next thing? Receive her, verse 2, that you may receive her in the Lord as becometh saints. Amen. And that we assist her in whatever business she has need of you, for she has been a succor to many and of myself also. So he says she's already been a good servant and helper to me. Someone has come alongside me. Please help her as she is doing the business of God. Hallelujah. It says here, because let's see, where is it? Okay. Yes, praise the Lord. And so she's working there, and she was with him in that. And so we see her, Phoebe, here because she's faithful in her responsibilities. Paul instructed the other believers in Rome to stand by and support her in any and all of her dealings. He said she was a sucker to many, which in Greek means she was a visible leader out in front leading others. She even led Paul at one point. Oh my goodness, why? Because we submit one to another. See, if the anointing's on someone, we submit to that. When the worshipers are up here, we submit. Whether it's a woman or man, whoever, we submit to where that's where God's working through right now. We all submit to that. We worship God together and we allow the anointing and the blessing of God to come through. Maybe we're doing something out here and somebody else is in charge. Maybe Terry's in charge or whatever. And we say, then we submit to him because he's giving us the direction. He's managing that particular job. So we submit one to another in the fear of God. It's not one greater than another. There's neither male, as we already looked, not male or female in Christ, right? There's not a man different than a woman in Jesus. They all have authority to walk with God, to be his followers, and to help in the ministry. Glory to God forever. Verse 4. And so he said in verse 4 that Aquila, greet Priscilla and Aquila, verse 3, my fellow workers in Christ who risk their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. And they were there locally and they helped Paul and worked with him. I mean, why would he even mention Priscilla if women weren't supposed to help out? But here he said, Priscilla, if you'll notice there, and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. They both worked together, but here in this case, like I said before, it was interesting to me because it always mentioned Priscilla and Aquila now. She kind of became that person, that minister in the family. And it didn't seem to bother Aquila. He was there too. But she was then mentioned first. She seemed to be the one that was standing out more than him. Hallelujah. Because women are important and they can be used in the ministry. And we see that here in the ministry of Paul. Verse 7, we see Paul celebrating another husband and wife to whom he was working with. Here in verse 7, Andronicus and Junia, my countrymen and fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles who also were in Christ before me. So you are even born again before me. They are among them, and so Paul had become a Christian before he didn't know, and both Andronica and his wife Junia were apostles. Isn't that significant? Here we got Andronicus, who is a woman. She was a female apostle. Woo! Uh-oh. Now we're in big trouble. I'll probably get kicked out. Some churches you might. But she was a female apostle. And I think that's notable. Paul mentioned them. Says, hey, greet them. Say hey to them. You know, let them know that I have not forgotten their labor of love. They were born again before I was even there. They're apostles of the Lord. And then Paul added salute Tryphena and Tryphosa who labor in the Lord. Verse 12. I have a lot of these memorized, to be honest. And I used to wonder why he had all these names in here, but I'm beginning to see it was important. Paul took every person important, every call as important, and he saw them as fellow laborers, and we're all fellow laborers, including the women. Amen. Ladies, you say amen. It's okay. If God calls you to preach, come talk to me. We'll get you preaching. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Do our best to help you find that place and to let God help you become all that God's called you to be, whatever it is. Amen. So we see that there in verse 12, these two, they were twin sisters who worked in ministry with Paul. Furthermore, he urged the Roman believers to salute Philologus and Julia, Neros and his sister in Olympus, and all the saints which are with them. We see two more women here, Julia and Olympus, serving in the ministry side by side with Paul. And that was verse 15 there, 15, 16. You know, greet Philologus, Julia, Neros, and his sister in Olympus, and all the saints who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ greet you. Hallelujah. He was greeting. All these verses here confirm that Paul was for against them. There's no way he would have worked with so many of them in ministry and then included them in his writing. He had not believed, if he had believed they are truly equal with men and play a vital role in advancing God's kingdom. Doesn't mean they're greater than the man. That's not what we say, but we are equal in Christ. They have just the same amount of ability, same roles could be upon their life. We have someone in our extended group, of course, as we know, Pastor Pam. She's been pastoring there for many years. Her husband passed away. She preaches that gospel. She pastors that church there in Paris, Tennessee. She does a good job. Apparently, she's been there for over 20 years now. And maybe it's 25. I don't know. I'll have to ask her again. But I know it's over 20 years for sure. So Priscilla was one of these powerful women with whom Paul was privileged to work. The Bible says that once he connected with her and her husband Aquila, he abode with them. And he did creative things with them. In other words, he made tents with them, apparently. So he wrote with them, or if you look into the Greek, it denotes a creativity. Therefore, when these three met, they immediately swung into action, creatively, energetically, working together with all their hearts to preach the gospel and equip new believers in their faith. So they became a great help to Paul in Corinth and other places. And we praise God that God is willing here. And they have creativity about them. They probably all, they were, but he also used them in the kingdom. Even though Priscilla and Aquila, their expulsion from Rome was heartbreaking, it appeared that all was lost. They were discouraged. Remember, we said that. They had to leave Rome. But how many know that God has a promise for us? Always in life, amen? He can cause certain things to work out for our good. It is not what we talked, we sung about it a little bit today. Sometimes if this life should bring some suffering for the sake of the gospel, they were under a little suffering, amen? Yet we don't lose heart. We don't give up. We trust that God directs the path of the righteous. Amen. He's still in control of us because we gave it to him. Romans 8:28 says that all things work together to good for those that love God, that are called according to his purpose. That is what God did in the lives of Priscilla and Aquila. He caused it for their good. And we can trust God to do good in our lives as well when we give ourselves to him. And I hope that we could see a few more things here. You know, and realize that Aquila and Priscilla and many of the Jewish believers that were living in Rome during that time and reign of Claudius, they were under that persecution. They suffered some persecution. A lot of times we don't realize how severe the early church was under persecution. For 300 years, the first 300 years of Christianity, there was a lot of persecution. I mean, they were killing them. I mean, burn them at the stake, put them out there, you know, to be eaten by the lion. It was a sport, people. They used them for sport. Thought it was funny. I mean, we think the world's pretty bad off right now, but at least in our culture, thank God, we're not being put in the arena to be chased by lions, to be eaten alive. And men think it's funny, and they cheer it and think that's great. Some were cut asunder. You know, they had a lot of different things. They were persecuted here in this case by the ruler, Claudius, and kicked him out of Rome. He said, "You guys get out of here. Leave us. Don't come back." You know, we have some here. Sometimes we have it on our job or maybe at school or in our community. You know, sometimes we have that. Amen. It's okay. It's not too much, but you know, you might have a little persecution here and there on your job. People make fun of you or whatever it is. But we stay faithful to the Lord. Amen. He still works it out. He's got a way of bringing people around and bringing us into that. And we can see sometimes, anybody ever have some of these times, it can be discouraging. You know, I know a particular lady, you know, she was talking about, well, you know, I'm the only Christian on my job. Will you pray that I get another job? No, I will not pray that you get another job. I'll pray that the boldness of God will remain with you and you'll be a testimony right where you are. What a great opportunity. Amen. I'm the only Christian on my job. Well, praise the Lord. You've got opportunity. Amen. You can get them all saved. I know Pastor Dave would talk about that. He'd be working on he worked at the mill for quite a while. And he had them all trying to get them to go to church. And he'd take them to church with them. He'd try to pray with them. And just about all of them, finally, even the boss said, "Yeah, I'll pray and get saved, but could you take me to this side of the lake?" So, well, what do you say that for? Because, see, back there, when Pastor Dave was first saved, he was in the ultra Pentecostal holiness. And you just prayed until you felt something. Oh, God! And they keep praying, so he wanted to go to the other side of the lake so everybody didn't hear him crying out to God till he knew God saved him. I mean, he had about seven guys, I think, that gave their hearts to God while he worked at the mill. See, he didn't wait till he left his job to start preaching. He was preaching before that. See, if you're not preaching where you are, what good are we? Amen. And I've talked about Everett. He got saved finally. Hallelujah. Not while I was there, but he was looking for me after. They say, "Hey, Everett's been looking for you. He's up in his 60s. Had a praying." I'm not saying it was my fault they got saved. His aunt prayed for him for years. He said, "I got an aunt. She keeps telling me." I said, "You may as well give it up, Everett. Give your heart to Jesus." I tell him that several times, but one day I had come back. I'd gone to church, and it was my Sunday to work. And he was all concerned because we had this special grass. I don't know if anybody ever seen the golf green, you know, or they have the bent grass up around the golf green. Well, this is in Oklahoma, and she's got this all over her backyard, about 3/4 acre. You know, and it's just that real short, looks nice and all that. But in Oklahoma, it's really hot, so it's not the best. You know, and a lot of times it'll get, you know, because it's so hot, we had to put like fungal things on it 3 times a week and cut it 3 times a week and keep it trimmed and watered. And it could get hot and burn up. Well, I had set it's my day to take care of, you know, the place. I mean, I didn't have to be there in the morning. That wasn't any law. It was just making sure, you know, the grass was taken care of and just little things. Things like that. And I set sprinklers out on the big acreage and, you know, but I had set the sprinkler system, of course, to come on. I got home, I'd say maybe 1 o'clock, and there he was. "Where were you? How come you weren't here? Don't you know this job comes first?" I said, "I understand that." I said, "I'm here right now." I said, is that grass? Well, that grass could have burned up. I said, it didn't burn up. And I said, if you want to go to hell, you can, but I'm not going there. And he didn't know what to say. He's just an old sinner, you know. Okay, you know. I told him, I said, if you want to go to hell, you can. He said, well, you could have got fired. Yeah, I could have. But God is number one in my life. Amen. He's first. It's not that I didn't care about the job. I was doing my job. I was making sure everything was taken care of. And it was. Everything was fine. But he had to race all the way across town because I wasn't there. I didn't answer the phone. Well, maybe I was out back watering the grass, you know. I mean, I don't know. You know? He didn't know. But praise the Lord. How many know God still loves him? I loved him enough to tell the truth. We got to love people to tell the truth. Amen. We're not ashamed. Not that we have to be, you know, obnoxious and troublesome. But we're not ashamed of the gospel. Amen. We bring it around to our subject. I was just talking to a guy the other year, next door to Pastor Cusick's church over here, Peter Cusick's church. I met the guy that lives next door, and he's 79. He's not born again. I said, well, you might want to start getting ready, you know, get your soul ready. You want to be ready to meet the Lord. We're all going to go there, you know, sometime. Well, I didn't die yet. I know my health is shot, but I'm not dead yet. I said, I know it. God's given mercy to you so that you can be born again. You have to give your heart to God. So without Jesus, we don't make heaven. We don't get to go in. You'll be lost forever. So you've got an eternal part of you on the inside of you, your spiritual man. That's eternal. Amen. When you think about eternity in our life and what's important. Hallelujah. Anyway, that's kind of off my subject here. But, but it does go with it in the sense that we want to remember that God will use any of us. And we want to be faithful right where we are right now today. Amen. I know Joseph told me several of the people that talked to him a little bit about the Lord. You know, he's got some older people he was taking care of at one point. And, you know, I don't know if he's led any of them to the Lord, but at least made that opportunity available to them. Amen. Because they're, most of the time, you know, and I'm not saying everybody, but you know, when they get up there in the 80s and 90s, you know, we're thinking, hey, heaven could be around the corner. So, praise the Lord. But Paul and Aquila and Priscilla, they met at the city of Corinth, as we talked about. And it was an amazing divine appointment with the Apostle Paul, because I didn't have any, as we said, other believers. They're a little discouraged, probably. You know, at least they felt that way. Didn't know where they're going. And hey, we met Paul. Praise the Lord. We got another believer here. And he was on fire for Jesus and was in Corinth. You know, he stayed there a couple of years building the church up. We know that. So, you know, there are supernatural things that God's going to do in your life if he hasn't already. Think about it. Has he given you already divine appointments, supernaturally orchestrated some things to come together? We need to ask the Lord and believe God. If maybe you haven't had that, but you can say, Lord, I need those divine connections. The right person, the right connection at the right time. I know most of you probably experienced that here or there. Some of you are in this church because you experienced that. Amen. Praise the Lord. God spoke it to you, or you connected with the right people and heard about the church, and here you are serving God right where you need to be. So we want to remember that even though sometimes persecutions can come, God can work it to our good. Amen. And even though you may be a man or a woman, you can be used of God. And we submit what? One to another in the fear of God. And we saw how many women Paul had. He had several women helping him that he referred to by name specifically. Phoebe, Priscilla, the two twin sisters here in Romans 16. And so we want to keep that in mind and remember that it's not that God, Paul was saying, hey, women, just be silent, be quiet. No, he was just saying, let's have order. Let's not be out of order. You know, let's do it in a good way. Amen. Hallelujah. It's the same thing. It's the same thing he was saying in about the gifts of the Spirit, because they were getting out of control with that. You know, oh, I can pray in tongues louder than you. I can prophesy better than you. I bet I can have the gift of miracles flow through me. You haven't had that happen. You know, and it was just kind of crazy, you know, a little bit, you know, because he said, that's why he said, let there be two or three, you know, tongues, and the rest of you, you know, be quiet, listen. If somebody gets something, then in order we'll bring you forward, you can give it. Amen. In a service. And that's what he was talking about to these women. You remember, they're in the service. In the service, hey, let's keep quiet, let's listen, let's be disciples, let's learn from God and ask your husband at home. I mean, because they had been the ones going to the church, so of course they probably knew more. They understood more. So they're having a hard time understanding everything. So, you know, but they're excited to be there. Hey, honey, what's going on? What's he saying? What does he mean by that? What's that? Yeah. I can understand that. But praise the Lord. We got great women like the preacher, Priscilla. So if you feel called to preach, women, amen, we're not against you. We're for you. You know, God calls you. We'll pray with you. We'll believe God. He's called us all to do something. Amen. All right, let's pray. If you need prayer for anything today, I want to invite you to come forward. We'll be glad to pray with you. And God will heal you, or he'll answer our prayer, we believe. We come into agreement. Two or more shall agree concerning anything. Amen. We can see things happen in agreement of prayer. We'll help our faith and push you over. So if you need prayer for anything, you're welcome to come forward to sit in the chair, and we'll be glad to pray with you. Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you for Priscilla and Aquila, Lord, who were laborers, who had divine appointment, Lord. They were persecuted, yet they remained faithful to you, Lord God. And Lord, when they were dejected, when they were thrown out, when it seemed like all was lost, Father, they found help, Lord, in a believer. The Apostle Paul and the divine connection that they made, and that, Lord, Priscilla actually became the woman of God that she sensed in her heart, and she rose to the top, Lord. And other women who helped Paul, Lord. We thank you for all the women in the church, Lord, that you have used. We thank you for the men, Lord, that you've called as well. And Father, that each of us has a call, and that there's not Jew nor Greek, male nor female in you, Father, but that we all have a place, and we thank you, Father, that you help us to fulfill that. Bless the food now as we go, Father, to our fellowship time. In Jesus' name, Lord, bless it. May we hear from you, Lord, and be a strength one to another. In Jesus' name, amen.